Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And our very own Chase McCabe is down live in Hoover, Alabama for SEC Media Days. Our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And Chase is now on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
I am doing great. How are you guys this morning?
We are doing wonderful. Good. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning on the show. So, Chase, you've been down there for one day, day two of Media Days taking place today with Tennessee on the mic as well. We'll get to more of that coming up here in just a few minutes. But what stood out to you from day one of SEC Media Days down in Hoover, Alabama?
Well, I think it was probably the comments of Commissioner Greg Sankey. He did his annual State of the SEC, State of College Football address, and hit on a lot of different things, including, you know, name, image, and likeness, and the economics of college sports, which I think is probably the biggest topic here. Dan Mullen and Ed Orgeron, everybody was asked about that. Shane Beamer as well from South Carolina. And so he talked about that, and he talked about that he would like to see Congress get involved and make some sort of regulations on this, because right now it's the wild, wild west, and it's up to the conferences and the schools and the players to all figure it out, and they just need some help on it. So, I mean, that was one of the big things. And as you can imagine, the expanded college football playoff came up as well. So those are kind of the big things. And now Greg Sankey's making his rounds with the radio stations. We hope to record something with him a little later today and be able to expand upon some of those comments.
And of course, Chase, he talked also about the vaccinations, the importance of vaccinations, the consequences of not getting vaccinations. Have you figured out which six teams are vaccinated? This is the
information. You done some digging?
Yeah. Has anybody told you this on Radio Row? I'd like to know this. We do know Vanderbilt will be one of them, but what do you think about just that idea that basically we're probably looking at some forfeits this fall?
Yeah, I mean, those were pretty strong words from the commissioner of, like, hey, we don't have the room to mess with the schedule like we did last year. We're going to play the games, where their schedule will end. If the forfeit word comes up, and we'll address that as it comes about. But I thought that was very interesting. And, there are reporters that are asking every coach, what percentage of your team have been vaccinated. As you can imagine, Dan Mullen, Ed Orgeron, Shane Beamer, they're not going to go down that road. They're being very careful about how they answer those questions. But I think, inquiring minds want to know where they are on all of that. Because, Greg Sankey praised the conference and the schools of being able to get through the 101st college football season. But we all know it was tough, and there were some obstacles along the way, and they don't want to go through that again. They want this to be as normal as possible. And so he made it a point several times to bring that up and say that vaccinations are readily available. Wasn't necessarily saying, hey, go get vaccinated. He was just saying that, they're there, they're a resource, and then it's your choice.
I mean, if I was a coach who had a vaccinated team, I'd want everybody to know.
I would think you.
No,
So if everybody gets asked, we'll know.
Right. I mean, that takes a question away. Like, hey, it's answered, move on.
Chase McCabe on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase, Tennessee, day two today here at SEC Media Days in Hoover. Josh Heupel, obviously his first SEC Media Days. What intrigues you most, the most about the Vols coming into today for Josh Heupel's first trip to Hoover, Alabama?
Well, I'm curious just how he handles it all. What does he do on Radio Row? I think Radio Row is very, very important, especially to a coach that's new to that school. It's a recruiting tool. That's what it can be used for. You're going on in different markets. So I'm curious to see how he uses that. I'm curious to see how he addresses, the pending sanctions and things that he inherited that wasn't his fault. I'm curious how he approaches the transfer portal and everything going on with that, and just how he handles himself, having never done, something of this magnitude before. I thought Shane Beamer yesterday with his first SEC Media Days handled himself well. He seemed like he wasn't nervous and just knew that it was a part of it, and he did it. And so I'm curious if Heupel's going to do the same thing. This is important for him. I mean, this is not a make or break, going to win, you know, going to determine if the fan base is on your side or not. But how you conduct yourself in a setting like this, I think, is very important, because we haven't heard from him a whole lot since he's been hired. You know, he came on our show. He's done a few things here and there, but mostly he's been worried about the football team and trying to build a new culture. So I think this is another step in that process to be able to help form that culture by getting some things out that he wants to get out.
And Shane Beamer actually did the Spurrier photo. He went to the Arby's, apparently.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
But apparently now that's good stuff. See, Heupel should recreate being served the subpoena, or something like that. Like harken back to a classic Tennessee moment. How is it? Does it feel the same there, Chase? Does it look the same? The lobby, is the lobby more cleared out? What's the scene like?
Yeah, they're not. Now you've been down here a few times, Joe. Usually there are fans all gathered in the lobby waiting on coaches and players. That is not allowed this year. So that's different, because you can actually go sit in the lobby and get off of Radio Row if you need to. I would say, usually there's probably 35 to 40 radio stations on Radio Row. That number's probably cut in half. But it feels normal. I mean, it feels as close to normal as just about anything has in a while. You're seeing, a lot of people walk over to tables and do the interviews like they usually do. And there, some of the coaches did come down Radio Row yesterday. The players came down Radio Row yesterday. So I would expect more of the same in that sense today. So we're getting back. And, they have said that if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. If you're not, you do need to wear a mask. And so I've seen some masks, and obviously have seen some people not wearing them. So it's getting that way. The hustle and bustle is picking up, because, day two is always a little bit more exciting than the first day, because you have one more school. But things are hopping.
Chase, last thing for you here. As you look ahead to the next couple of days, who are you most excited to hear from? Lane Kiffin later today, Nick Saban tomorrow, or Mike Leach tomorrow?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer there. In all seriousness, I am curious of Nick Saban's thoughts on a lot of these things, like name, image, and likeness, and the playoff. And, he always has an agenda when he comes to SEC Media Day. So I'm curious to see what that is. And, the Lane train and Mike Leach, the two Mississippi coaches, they're going to be entertaining. So I am looking forward to that. And I really hope Lane Kiffin makes his way to Radio Row. Because if you think about this is really his first true SEC Media Day since he was at Tennessee. And that one time, because last year was the COVID year. So I think he's come a long way in his entertainment value since then. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
Well, we're looking forward to it as well. Going to be a good day today at SEC Media Days. Chase McCabe will have you covered all day long from SEC Media Days down in Hoover, Alabama. Our coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Chase, great stuff, man. Have fun down there, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Chase McCabe of 102.5 The Game does a great job on Darren Donica. Chase. Chase McCabe, a wearer of many hats here on this radio station. Going to be an interesting day today at SEC Media Days. We mentioned Josh Heupel. Kirby Smart should be getting underway about right now. He may already be underway. That's not all that exciting.
He started.
And Mark Stoops from Kentucky today as well at 1:30. Lane Kiffin, the Lane Train, 2:55 today. So
that'll kick things up.
Clark Lee making his SEC Media Days debut tomorrow for Vanderbilt at 10:30. Nick Saban tomorrow as well. Mike Leach and Jimbo Fisher. That's a pretty good lineup tomorrow.
That is a pretty good lineup. Speaking of Clark Lee, a lot of people talking about the no numbers.
Yeah.
No numbers on the roster. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's weird just from the standpoint of if you're a coach, how do you tell who's who out there running around, right? That would be my biggest problem with it.
Yeah, I went to a spring scrimmage, and I was like, how do you guys do this?
Yeah.
Because I had no idea. I'm like, was that Mike Wright who threw that pass?
Maybe Clark Lee, he knows his players so well. Me watching a Predators practice, I don't necessarily need to see anybody's number. From watching them as much as I do, I know what it looks like when Ryan Johansson's skating. Like, I know what it looks like when Cali Yarncrook is out there skating. Maybe that's Clark Lee with his players.
Yeah.
Even though he's not even seen him play a game yet.
That's a lot fewer players. And, like, obviously, like, a Johansson or an Arvidsson sitting next to each other, like, it'd be easy, right?
Sure.
Well, my question is, like, so let's say there's, you know, 10, 12 guys who are just kicking butt. Did they get their numbers, like, 1 week? Is it a gradual add of numbers? What if someone gets hurt? I mean, you didn't really earn your number, right? You got hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting strategy.
These are questions for Clark Lee tomorrow.
But, hey, he's doing something right. The recruiting is going very well for Vanderbilt and Clark Lee so far. Very well.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think he's – I think the messaging, everything he's done has been impressive. But I just – I feel like you talk about 100-plus kids. Do you have, like – different colored socks or something to identify play. I don't know. It's got to make things harder for the coaches.
I would think so, but I don't know. Maybe there's a way they identify them that we just don't know about. They got their own numbers.
Like I said, if you know your team that well, especially a coach taking over a new team
that you've never seen actually play in a football game before. Yeah,
I guess that's impressive.
Be very impressive. When we come back, we will get back into the Nashville Predators. And David Poyle's vision for this team, some moves already have been made this offseason, at least another move coming tomorrow with the expansion draft underway. Do we believe in David Poyle's vision for this Predators team? We'll get to that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds begin a six-game series on the road against Jacksonville, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Pre-game show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:50, and the first pitch is at 6:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Nashville Predators, the expansion draft coming up tomorrow, with the Seattle Kraken officially being welcomed to the National Hockey League. So some more moves will be on the horizon for the Nashville Predators. And Arvidsson already out the door to L.A. Ryan Ellis traded over the weekend to the Philadelphia Flyers. David Poyle, Nashville Predators general manager, has made it pretty clear that getting younger is a priority. They've done that to this point. Draft picks in return for Victor Arvidsson. A couple of young prospects in return for Ryan Ellis, I think both of which have a very good shot to be on the NHL team, but we'll see about how big of an impact they can make. Joe, as you look at the moves that have already been made this offseason, the moves still yet to come in the expansion draft, and we don't know specifically what that's going to be as of yet. David Poyle pretty clearly thinks this group needs a shakeup. Do you buy into the not rebuilding that David Poyle has insisted that he's not doing, quote, a competitive rebuild that he's called it? Do you buy into that even be a possibility? Or if you're changing things up this much, and especially if you're changing things up this much and you're not able to get rid of one of those two big contracts, is there even a scenario where you can change things up so quickly and get back to being competitive? And by competitive, I mean competing for a Stanley Cup. Does that scenario exist in your mind?
Well, sure. It exists with, oh my gosh, Tomasino, one of the stories of the season as a rookie. And whoa, Tolvanen has established himself, and he's even better than last year, and the Forsberg's the floor. And oh, but Forsberg's scoring 40. And Cody Glass, oh my goodness, he just needed to get out of Vegas. Look, this guy's a star in the making. Dante Fabbro has figured it all out. Oh, my gosh. Soros is the same goalie forever.
That's a lot of things.
Matt Duchene is back to 60. In fact, he's a 70-point player. Ryan Johansson has figured out consistency every night.
That's a lot of things.
I mean, I can keep going. I mean, they could be one of the greatest teams in NHL history next year if every single thing broke their way. And they could also easily, as I would predict right now, not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's about where they are at the moment. And look, I've said this. And there are people that continue to disagree with me on this, which, I mean, that's fine. You're entitled to your own opinion. But there's no way you can convince me right now this team is a better team than the team that closed out the season in May or whenever it was. Was it early June? I can't even keep up anymore.
It was like May 27th.
May 27th. Okay. Yeah. So you can't convince me that this team is better right now than it was. Now, again, I realize the offseason is still underway. There are many things left to happen. With the expansion draft being one of those, free agency coming up, more trades could be made. I realize all these things. So I always hesitate to really paint a big picture of an offseason until it's actually over, because the picture can change pretty quickly, as we've seen so far with David Poile this offseason. But, you know, I said heading into the offseason, the Predators need to be realistic about the way they just finished the season. I think what's very easy to do in the NHL is to get caught up in, you know, the second half of the year, we were one of the best teams in the NHL from a points percentage-wise, and you get put out in the first round of the playoffs, and you say, well, that's okay. If we play like we played in the second half of last season, we're going to be fine next year, which is true. But then you factor in, okay, our goaltender during that stretch had about a .945 save percentage, which is just absurd. I think UC Saros is very good. I've seen enough at this point from UC Saros to convince me that he can play at a very high level in the NHL. A very high level in the NHL is about a .920 save percentage, .925 save percentage.
Which is his career mark,
which
by
is,
the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's been
right
very good.
.920.
Yeah, he's been very good. And I think he can continue to be very good. So that's a gigantic positive that you have for your team as you continue to move forward here. I just the offense isn't there. And the offense, quite frankly, it's not really all that close to being there. I mean, they've got to find ways, especially if what happens tomorrow in the expansion draft that I think will happen, and that is both Duchesne and Johansson are still here. Like, those guys, yes, you can hope that they're going to come back and they're going to earn their money, and Duchesne's going to be a 55, 60-point guy, whatever the bar would be, and Johansson's going to get back to his 15 goals in the regular season and 45, 50 assists. Like, if that happens, then this team is probably going to be in pretty good shape. Based on what I've seen the last couple of years, I don't know how you could have any confidence that's going to happen. I just don't. And I think that puts you in a really tough spot, because not only do you have to try to figure out a way to make those guys work if you're stuck with them, but you also have to leave room for, all right, what about a Cody Glass? What about a Philip Tomasino? They've got to find significant playing time, and in my opinion, playing time in big roles to help them grow and mature in their career. Like, I think Philip Tomasino needs to be a top six guy. I think Elli Tolvanen needs to be a top six guy. I think Cody Glass probably needs to be a top six guy. There's only six spots, and those are three young guys right there. And I've not even brought up Mikael Granlund yet, if they bring him back.
That's another one I forgot. Mikael Granlund was re-signed and had an amazing year.
There you go. Add that.
Tanner Janot backs up being protected and scores 15 goals and you know, injures half the league with his checks.
With his ferocious body checks that he has. Yes.
See, it all works out.
So, I mean, look, I think they're in a tough spot. We had Jim Diamond on earlier in the show from the Associated Press, and he described the Predators as kind of meh, right in the middle. They're not bad enough to be one of the worst teams in the league, and they're not really good enough to be a true Stanley Cup contender, so you're stuck right in the middle. That's a very tough spot to be, and not only is it a tough spot to be, it's also a very, very difficult position to get out of, unless you just completely tank. And I just don't see David Poile and the Predators doing that. So if they're not going to do that, that's a very difficult spot to try to work your way out of at that point.
Right, and again, you're trying to extend guys that you do want to be part of whatever your future is, whether you're going to be a team in the middle, a team just getting in the playoffs, a real contender. You want Forsberg, you want Ekholm to be part of those teams. You want them to be with you on the other side of whatever this is. And tanking, you know, that's no way to get that done. That's not on the table.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wayne texting in, if David Poile was fired, who would interview and hire his replacement? Would it be the ownership group or Sean Henry? Well, number one, David Poile's not going to be fired this offseason. I mean, he's just not. Now, I think he should be on the hot seat next year. I don't think that's the way I view it.
Yeah, but I agree. I think he should be on the hot seat now, but that's the great question.
Right, like, who's making that decision?
I mean, there is an ownership group. I mean, again, it's like if you're a fan, you're a fan who attends games, or even if you're a fan who pays for a cable system that carries the games. In some way, you give your money to this, whatever this team that you follow. And so you want to hear from the people who get your money.
Yeah.
Although some weird.
Although, according to the poll question that Vingan threw up there, maybe people don't.
Pred's Facebook infiltrated Vingan's poll, and a bunch of people were like, I don't know. I don't want to hear from anybody who owns the team. Why would I want that? Bizarre. But, okay, I think most people would like some sort of, like, here's this person who is holding the GM, the coach, et cetera, accountable. Now, we know David Poyle holds the coach accountable. David Poyle has changed coaches a couple times in the last 7 years, right?
Yeah.
Who holds him accountable?
It's a good question.
According to Stillman, no media do.
Yeah.
Except Stillman.
I've heard that.
Yes.
Tim on YouTube says, Robbie, we are bigger and stronger. We are better now than at the end of last year. And then ends it with ha-ha, so I can't tell if he's serious or not on YouTube.
Okay. I'm glad you added the ha-ha. Yeah, I mean, right now, but again, it's not a complete picture.
No.
So we don't know the final roster. We don't know all the other moves that are going to happen.
Well, and Elliot Friedman has said this 10 times already this offseason. It's David Poyle. And one thing I will say about David Poyle, he's not afraid to make a big move. And Elliot Friedman seems to think maybe they'll get into, you know, a bigger move later this offseason. I don't know. Like, he's always kind of viewed the Ellis trade, or excuse me, the Arvidsson trade, as maybe the next step to something bigger. I would assume when you add Ellis to that mix as well, maybe the Predators get involved in a free agency race, even though I still don't know that that's the right way to go.
Or is the big move some sort of trade that we can't anticipate right now?
It could be, but I mean, you're running out of assets, right? Like, what assets do you have to land a big trade that you're willing to part with? Like, maybe
Cody Glass?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe so. Like, are you willing to part with Philip Tomasino? I don't really see them being willing to do that. So, I mean, I don't know what assets they've got to really facilitate a big trade of huge consequence.
Well,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do. I just don't see it.
The only way I could see that being really possible is if the Kraken if Seattle does take one of those two guys.
Correct.
Because the thing is, I mean, if they don't, you are tied to those guys having huge roles in your team. I mean,
they're not going anywhere.
John Hines has obviously freedom to do what he wants with his lineup, but you know, over the long haul, $8 million guys are going to play.
Well, tomorrow to me is your last chance to rid yourself of one of those two contracts for the foreseeable future. Because unless they start playing much better, which at that point, do you want to get rid of yourself? I don't know. I mean, maybe you do. Or, you know, you get to a place where you feel comfortable buying them out, which I don't know why that would even be an option for them right now.
Yeah, maybe down the road.
Maybe down the road a little bit, but I just don't see it. Like, this, there's no other expansion team coming in the league. And with the salary cap remaining flat, like, you're going to be hard pressed to move one of those two contracts.
So
tomorrow's it.
So if you look at it and you feel desperate to move one of them, do you do something like a Fabreau, a first round pick, blah blah blah, crazy stuff?
Well, I asked,
to make it happen.
So I asked you this yesterday.
Would that even work? I don't know.
And you weren't willing to go there. If they get rid of, let's say they find a way to get Matt Duchene to Seattle, and it takes Dante Fabreau going with him, is that a rebuild at that point? I mean, that's a lot of change.
Well, but again, the answer to that is, okay, then, is this swing for the fences that Elliot Friedman's talking about, is that the corresponding move? So I can't answer that until I know yes or no on that.
But I don't know what swing for the fences means, because no, there's not a free agent out there that qualifies to me as swinging for the fences.
Trading Forsberg and something else for somebody else massive. That's what it means to me. Who? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm like something like that, where you're totally reforming this team.
Right.
And then who knows what you have at that point. But it doesn't necessarily, if you do that, then the answer is no. No, you're not just in a pure rebuild. Because I think you may be onto something on next year is a lot about, like, let's really see what these young guys have. But again, there's still spots that are just occupied in that roster that you're not just healthy scratching Duchesne all year if you can't trade him.
No. He's got to play. And, I mean, I would hope, like, if you're stuck with him, I would hope you go right back to what you did at the end of the playoffs and just say, all right, you guys are here. Don't tell me about not getting an opportunity. I'm going to give you about 15 games here to start the season. Here's Forsberg, here's Duchesne, here's Johansson, here's Duchesne. Show me what you got. Like, that's at that point, if I'm John Hines, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. And then, of course, if you're John Hines, you're hoping that you also are saying, and here's my second line, centered by Mikael Granlund, I hope. But who knows?
Cody Glass. Who knows? See what happens. Maybe Eric Halla comes in, third line center. Cody Glass in the AHL this year. Maybe it happens.
A lot to be determined.
A lot to be determined on that front. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators when we come back. Get to your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Do you believe in the direction of this Predators team? Do you believe in the direction of David Poile and how he's handling this roster this offseason? Let us know on our text line. Joe Rexroad, David Poile getting a lot of conversation the last couple of days after his, quote, competitive rebuild comments. What did you make of those comments, and do you think maybe the trade gets a little bit more benefit of the doubt? Had David Poile the last couple of years, pretty much every move he's made not worked out all that well.
Yeah, I don't know. I've wondered that. Like, is it because of his recent track record? I mean, Cody Glass is, I mean, it is what it is. He's a number six overall pick, kind of tough time breaking the lineup, hasn't exactly exploded onto the scene, has had some injuries. So, I mean, I think it's going to be seen as underwhelming in any regard, but I do wonder, because of Poile's string of misses here on big moves, does that add skepticism? There's a lot around Poile, including a lot of arguing that I keep having back and forth with Stillman.
What are you arguing about now?
Well, so, I mean, I feel like I'm in, like, this triangle of terror with Stillman and Vingan. I think what we need to do is we need to put Stillman and Vingan together.
Yeah.
And just let them have it out. But there's a lot of various things that are being argued about. But Stillman, here's where he gets me angry yesterday, is he actually suggested, as we were texting back and forth during his show, and I don't even remember why I texted him initially, but, you know, that he believes that access is part of, like, why, I guess, is it just why more media in this town aren't just screaming that David Poile must be fired right now? It's just, and let me tell you, this is a thing that I think a lot of times fans get that in their heads, like, well, you just don't want to lose access. Well, you're not going to lose access. No one's getting more or less access to David Poile if they criticize him or not. I mean, you know, David Poile's a professional. He went out and talked to all of us last week, took note of the fact that we've ripped him. But, I mean, that's just reality. That goes with the territory. David Poile's not going to be like, you know what, you get no more access. I will say, I mean, when David Poile made the Arvidsson trade, he did one interview, right? He did an interview on Darren Donick and Chase.
Correct.
So there wasn't even a press conference with that. He's done resulting press conferences. It's just not a consideration. We're in organizations, and I'm in a lot of them. Too many. Man, you add up the dues.
You are in a lot.
Get out some of these stupid organizations. Not stupid. I love you, all of your organizations. But these organizations, a big part of why you're in them is because they advocate for you if anybody does try to take away access. There's no access question here. So please stop with that, Jared. Now, as far as should David Poile be fired, again, my stance on that is if you have someone, you being whoever it is, who would make this decision for the Preds, whoever that would be, if you have a person in mind that you think is better, like right now could come in and do a better job, do it. But I'm never an advocate of just fire away and then let's look around and try to find someone. I mean, sometimes you have to.
Right.
And that may come with Poile. We may be close to that with Poile. But again, I think you and I are in agreement on, let's be realistic, no one's firing him right now.
Right.
So should we sit here all day and say, fire Poyer, fire Poyer. I mean, but it's not happening. I do think that the bigger question there is, again, ownership for the Preds, who is going to step up and be publicly accountable? Because you're asking for people to give you money, and you are getting the money.
Well, and to that point, George on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, ownership seems to be very disinterested with building a winner. They're content to print money on just another lower Broadway entertainment venue. That's why there's no accountability at the GM level. Poyle builds teams good enough to sell tickets, but not good enough to go to the distance. That's coming from George on the text line.
Okay, so George, I'll say this. Let me say this in David Poyle's defense. He hasn't been out here like, you know what, we're fine. Let's just make the playoffs and be good. He's been desperately trying to get a Stanley Cup and has done everything he could think of to try to do it.
A lot of it hasn't worked.
It hasn't worked, but don't mistake that for some sort of satisfaction with where they are. Nah, this is fine. Poyle has tried. Poyle badly wants to win a Stanley Cup. Don't be confused by that. He's made a bunch of mistakes lately that have put him in a bad spot. That's as far as ownership, though, on that part of your comment, you just hit on why it's important for someone in ownership to talk. Because, hey, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a business. But the thing is, too, you know, as we know, in sports, it's been an incredible environment, that place. Even this year, when it was half full, it was fantastic in there, right? But you go down the wrong road for a certain amount, and it's gonna change. It's going to change for the worse.
Let's go back to the text line. Heidi from Dixon texting in. Only general manager we've had, and we have no direction, no cups. Our best players in franchise history won't make the Hall of Fame, and many of the best players we drafted we didn't keep. Other great players came from other teams and got worse. Add it all up, and we need the future GM to make decisions for the future. And that's all great, but every time somebody sends these text messages, there's never an idea for who's going to be the future GM.
That's the thing.
Who's going to be the GM?
Right.
Look, I don't necessarily discount the idea that maybe it's time for a new voice. I don't necessarily totally disagree with that. But who's it going to be? Like, he is the winningest general manager in the history of the National Hockey League. So who is it going to be that takes his place?
So you,
I don't know.
Right. No, I agree. But so what you just said there and what Heidi just said is really an example of, you can spin David Poyle's career any way you want. You can say that, and you can talk about the longevity, and you can certainly look at his Preds career and limitations and struggles and things that were out of his control and a lot of good things he did and the fact that he got them to within two wins of the Cup. And then you can look at what's happened since then in full-on buy mode. He's been bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's me being kind. So it you can spin it to be this amazing thing or this awful thing, and the truth is in the middle.
Let's go back to the text line.
It's been overall good, and it's been really bad lately.
Carlos texting in, I have no problem with the direction Poyle is going. He still has a good history with the club and is the most seasoned GM out there. I think he has other things in the works behind the curtain, and I expect other announcements after tomorrow night during the entry draft as well. So saying maybe some more trade activity coming up later in the NHL draft itself after the expansion draft.
Who's that?
Carlos.
Well, Carlos, Jared Stillman thinks that you're worried about access.
Yes.
You can't possibly have the opinion that Poyle should be anything but fired, you know, on your own. It has to be because you're worried about access.
Jose texting in asking about Igor Afanasyev, who is a prospect for the Predators. How close is he to making the team? Made some strides the past couple of years. He's 6'4", 201 pounds, 20 years old. My guess is he's probably still a year away, would be my guess. But I think a nice prospect that they have.
Hell of a name.
Yeah. There's Can't wait until Gunnar LaFontaine comes running around
here.
There's
some good names.
My goodness.
All right, Jeff Gordon. What do you think about Jeff Gordon?
Jeff Gordon? Yeah. Oh, for a GM?
Yeah.
I thought you meant as his name. I was like, well, it makes me think of NASCAR.
I was going to say, it makes me think of Gordon's
fish sticks. I mean, typically, when you have people suggesting to replace Poyle, they typically say, all right, well, bring in somebody young. Like, Kyle Dubas has come in for Toronto, and he's young, very analytically driven. And, look, you can knock Toronto for the playoffs, and that's deservedly so. But they were pretty average to below average before he got there, and he's come in and he's done an okay job. I don't know if they're going to be able to break through and actually win a Stanley Cup, because when you give four players that much money, it's very difficult to construct a roster around you that's capable of winning, as they keep finding out in the playoffs on a yearly basis. Very difficult to do that. So I've heard the younger route is the way to go. I just wonder, like, if I'm sure over there in that room, there is a long-term plan for GM. I just don't know if the long-term plan for GM is going outside the organization and bringing somebody else in, or is it promoting from within to maybe a Jeff Kelty or a Brian Poyle and letting them have the general manager job whenever that day comes that David Poyle is done. But it's not like they've not thought about this. I just don't know what their plan is. They like to stay inside the organization for a lot of things. I would not be surprised if the next general manager is inside the organization. So if that's the case, if you're a Predators fan, are you okay with that? Because I think that's the most likely route they're going to go. So would you rather have David Poyle, or would you rather have them go within the organization? Because I still think whenever that day happens, the most likely outcome to me is they're going inside the organization. Well, I could be wrong. That's what I think they'll do.
We already knew this was a unique situation. General managers aren't general managers for the same professional sports team this long, hardly ever.
Yeah.
Very rare. Mute.
Had a mute.
Mute. There you go. You're in the mute
train 3-1.
Now. But then think about that, and then it's just a preordained internal promotion? If I'm a Preds fan, again, the way things are going, I'm sure that's your plan, your vision, and it goes in tandem with all these years have been better than they were, than they actually have been, and you're a contender, and again, living happily ever after. Well, now that things have changed like this, can you still pull that off?
Yeah.
To me, then again, where's ownership? You don't have a problem with that? You don't think at some point you need to rethink the whole plan?
Well, Wayne on the text line, why has the media not been more investigative into the ownership group? Who are they and what do they think about the situation? This always drives me nuts. It's like we have superpowers to drop in people's condos or something. We either get made, the people in charge either get made available to talk to, or they don't. They either want to talk or they don't. And if they don't want to talk, there's nothing we can do about it. It's on them. I would rather them talk. But you can't just go chase somebody down the street and be like, hey, by the way, what do you think about the Predators?
They did have the early on, didn't they have the guy who had the huge criminal case? You know what I'm talking about, in the ownership group?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name. I'll look that up during the break.
So, so if there's something, if there's some sort of news item out there about someone, but I don't think
you don't want that. Yeah.
I think we're going to follow people around here. Then again, 99-1 or whatever in Wisconsin figured out that Aaron Rodgers had a deep clean.
That's true.
Maybe we need to rethink the way we
start talking to the deep cleaners of the house is going on. Maybe that's what we need to do. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators when we come back. Got a lot more thoughts to get to on the text line as well. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell, Michelle Knezovic here with you today on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got a lot of your thoughts to roll through quickly on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Gator Tim texting in, Poyle is great at drafting and developing defensemen. That is his only great quality. Both of his coaches have had greater success outside of this organization. That should tell you all you need to know about his ability to evaluate talent.
Can he be the defenseman GM?
Maybe so.
Split up GM duties by offense.
Yes, Barry Trotz has had greater success outside of this organization. I don't think there's any question about that. Peter Laviolette won a cup. He also got to the cup final with the Predators. He got to the cup final with Philadelphia. You're talking about two games difference in Carolina and in Nashville. I get it. One's winning a cup, one's not winning a cup. Not a ton of difference there. It's not like, he was just this lights-out better coach in Carolina. He probably got better as a coach as he grew in the NHL.
Right.
Like, well, I don't buy into all that stuff.
We've talked a ton about Laviolette, and there's a shelf life, I think, on Laviolette.
Yeah.
That's been demonstrated.
Time and time again.
Although, I guess his first firing, Mike Milbury,
there's
an asterisk on that one.
Imagine two of them in the same room. That'd be something.
Yeah. Although back then, Laviolette was Mr. Happy Fun Time. So
yes.
I don't know.
And then returned to that this year in Washington.
Yeah, just not here. Thanks a lot, Philly.
Trevor texting in, Mike Fisher as the new GM of the Nashville Predators.
What there you that? Go. Pecorino assistant GM.
Somebody has a vote done. For Steve Sullivan. Now, Steve Sullivan, a little bit more of a realistic option there. He has served in management, but I don't think Steve Sullivan, I don't know if he's ready yet for being a general manager. Have a vote for Pekka as the GM, yes.
I mean, if you, again, you being this person who never speaks to anyone, and we have no idea what this person thinks, are going to fire David Poile, then I feel like you better have someone you feel strongly about coming in.
I would agree.
Maybe it is Jeff Gorton. So I think it's Gorton's fish sticks.
Well, he just got fired by the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I get it. It's the Rangers, and their ownership situation is nuts.
A little bit different.
I understand that. But, I mean, he did a good job of rebuilding the Rangers pipeline and restocking the cupboard. But what's he like? Okay, cool. Is that a guarantee to work here? I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't say it. I mean, that's the thing. You're not going to find anything that's guaranteed to work here. I mean, I think at some point, not too far from now, the idea of, you know, a younger GM who's ready for a long haul is a good idea. Like you said, I think the plan's probably been the internal promotion. Gets harder when you go the wrong direction.
Let's go back to the text line. Shane from Ashland City texting in. I love David Poile's strategy, but I feel like we're selling for dirt cheap. So Shane, he's fine with trading off these pieces. Not happy with the returns that are coming back if you're David Poile and the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, the part of unloading salary is, again, like Subban. You had a guy who was a Norris finalist a year earlier, and you got very little for Subban. But we all saw that for what it was. Ellis is different. It's not as much of a salary dump, but that's part of the reason for this. And that's the problem with signing big contracts and then realizing in 2 or 3 years later that you need to get out of that contract.
Well, that's why I say, like, if you free up the money in the expansion draft with this specific crop of free agents this year, I don't know that the solution is immediately saying, all right, now we've got all this money to play with. Here you go, Gabe Landeskog. Let's give you $8.5 million a year to come in here and be on the wing. Like, I feel like we've kind of gone down that road. Like, I don't know if that's necessarily the right route to go with this team.
It may be, as you said, you have it. You got space. You go a year with the young guys and see what you have.
That may be what you have to do.
But are they willing
to do that?
And during that year, if it's just to see what you have and you're not really competitive, people aren't going to be happy about it.
They are not going to be happy whatsoever. Got a message specifically for you on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tell Joe it's Bud on my way to ACC Media Days. Plan to talk with Pat Narduzzi tomorrow.
Oh, right. Bud. Nice. Awesome. Say hi to the Doozer for me.
There you go. ACC Media Days. Has Dabo, is he speaking this week?
No, but I can't wait for Dabo. You know, as a longtime advocate of name, image, likeness, yes. I've always wanted my guys to get paid.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be more excited to be in college football making $9 million a year.
By the way, as Michelle pointed out on Twitter, Kirby Smart confirming that Georgia has reached the vaccination threshold as well as 80%. So we now know two of the six SEC teams, Vanderbilt and Georgia.
Ask every single guy. And if you are a coach whose team has actually pulled this off, you should proudly proclaim it, and then we'll know the six.
Process of elimination.
And we'll know the eight who need to get in gear.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.